What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful with those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times. This is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum as well as mints. Got caffeine, L-theanine, and vitamins B6 and 12. Helps with memory and focus. I really like to chew it all the time. Whenever I'm just driving around showing houses, making calls to my clients before a workout. Really just anytime I feel like I need a little bit of a mental boost, I'll pop a piece of NeuroGum and it gets me to where I need to be. Only about 40 milligrams of caffeine per piece, so it's not going to get you super jittery and wired. So it's perfect. So get out there and try some NeuroGum.
Shout out to Captain Beard Co. If you're looking for amazing products for grooming, so especially beards, they've got amazing beard balms, butters, oils, as well as shampoo, conditioner, body wash. Everything smells absolutely amazing. It's made with all natural ingredients. And the best part about it is it's here local to St. Louis. And if you use the promo code Zach and Pat, you'll get 10% off your purchase. I use this stuff every morning. I get up, take a shower. I mean, I use their body wash, ran out of the shampoo and conditioner because it was great. But yeah, their body wash is amazing. And then afterwards, throw a little beard balm or beard butter in there. And I know it's not as full as yours, but it does the trick. It's perfect. It smells amazing. And I get a lot of compliments on it. So
yeah. Awesome. Love that stuff. I got all the guys in my family, body wash and beard oil.
Okay. Christmas. Nice. Yeah,
they all like it. Yeah. Getting texts from them telling me they like it.
Yeah, and their candles too. Their candles are.
Oh yeah, just got a new. As you can tell, we are in a new studio. So
every 6 months, we like to switch shit up on you guys.
Yeah, just be some be completely somewhere else. So yeah. We are finally out of my house, which I am happy about.
It's just our own space.
Yeah, dude, we can just come and go as we please. We don't have to worry about disturbing my family,
right?
And just like working around my kids' schedules and it's just nice. I'm really excited to be here, and especially where we're at, which is really cool, which I kind of want to get into on the show. And we're gonna be having a ton of people on the show from this club Pat and I joined. So so where are we, Pat?
We are at Adventure Unknown. It is a members only club in Fenton, and it's like a networking group with a clubhouse. And it's just a lot of really, really cool people, really successful people, business owners, things like that. And it's just a fun atmosphere to be around. The clubhouse is awesome. I mean, they've got all sorts of stuff. They're putting in a gym. They've got a classroom if you want to host seminars, which I did towards the end of the year last year, that business planning seminar, which was perfect. It's a great spot. And then you have, just like the open bar area, that has drinks and stuff for you just to host happy hours. It's got a stage if you want to do stuff. They've got a karaoke machine hooked up to it right now. It's pretty cool. And they've got the pickleball court, which they're trying to get approval from Fenton. So Fenton, get your shit together and approve this damn pickleball court. So
really, what are they not
approving? I guess it's not, I don't know. I guess they have to get approval, some sort of city approval
to use it.
Yeah. But it's pretty cool. And then it's got office spaces. So like us, we rented an office space, turned it into the studio. And then Punchline Productions, which who also New News were a part of, we're going to be a part of their programs and stuff like that, and kind of cross pollinate with some of the acts that they had on. We had Corey, who was on and runs Punchline. And we just got a lot of really cool, exciting stuff in the works for the show. And a lot of really cool, exciting guests coming on. We were doing a guest and a duet every week. Well, we're going to switch that up a little bit and start doing more guests. We've really come to enjoy the guests, and we're at a point now where we have a lot of people that are wanting to come on, and just especially with members in this club. I think we're up to 80 members. I think they're capping it at 100. So if you're interested in something like this, you need to get in and check it out. No, only rule, don't be an asshole.
That's the first question on the application.
Yeah, it's the only question.
Are you an asshole?
Yeah.
Or do you tend to be an asshole to cool people?
Yeah.
I think that's the very first question on the application. Hilarious.
Yeah. And so, I mean, really strict process. getting, oh, yeah. Yeah. So, but no, it's awesome. And then the really cool aspect of it too, is they plan a lot of trips. It's so the name Adventure Unknown, you know, every month they've got some sort of adventure, whether they're traveling. So, you know, going to the British Virgin Islands or an Alaskan grizzly bear hunt in May, fly fishing in Canada and
Costa Rica
soon. And then they've got a catamaran trip through the British Virgin Islands. There's another catamaran trip. They're going to Patagonia. I know they've done safaris in Africa. I know they go to Italy frequently. Like, it's just a lot of cool stuff that you can do. Then they've got the networking events, and then there's all sorts of charity events that they put on through here. And it's just a really cool space, and I'm happy to be a part of it. I'm glad that you were able to join and get in, and now we have everything here, and then with everything with the Punchline production stuff going on, I think we've got a lot of really cool, exciting things coming with the show and moving forward. I'm excited for 2025.
2025 is going to be awesome.
A lot of the goals that we set for the show when we started it, you know, a year ago, are starting to come through. So now we're setting new goals for the show and sponsorships and things like that, and you know, obviously continuing to grow, you know, the viewership and things like that. I think that's something that, you know,
that's ultimately. I think our biggest goal is just to kind of grow the viewership, which I mean, we've grown significantly since we started, but I mean, we've got a lot of way to go,
absolutely.
We're still relatively small, and but you know, the more we do this, the more we keep doing it, right. I think the more the word's getting out, I've gotten a lot of messages, especially over the last few weeks, from people that are watching the show. I met up with a bunch of my old college buddies, and like had several of them tell me that, oh, yeah, listen to this episode, it was awesome. Yeah. And was like, dude, because you see all the views online, oh, cool. But you can't really always see who it is. And I'm like, oh, I wonder who these people are. Are they random people on YouTube, or is it like my friends, or who is it? Who's watching?
Right.
You know, like you throw this out here and you just have no idea who's catching it.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool. I've loved like every aspect of starting the podcast. We've had a lot of growing pains. You know, we've had episodes that, you know, we filmed or recorded and the quality was shitty and we didn't decide to release them. And,
audio issues, video issues,
corrupted files.
Just all sorts of
stuff. Yeah. Dude, like there's so many like little things you just don't know when you're doing this.
And that's the thing is we just kept trucking along and we didn't let it break us. And here we are. What is this app? Comes out
110.
Yeah, 110
or 109. I don't know.
Season two. We're on season two of the Zach and Pat Show.
Third studio in. Yeah. Just it just feels really surreal to be in like a place like this. It feels like so much more official than my unfinished basement.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed. It was our space. We made it our own, and we've done the same here. I mean, it's not quite as big as what we had set up in the basement, but that's okay.
That's like, okay. Yeah. It's totally fine. It's cozy.
Exactly. We're still going to be able to do fight companions and stuff from here. We're still going to be able to do things like that and work from here and be here. Like this is going to be our home base, which is awesome.
And so, this is like going to double as this is our podcast studio, but this is also going to be office space. Like when we're not recording a podcast, we move the mics to the side, open our laptops and it's just a place where we are working.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
man, I'm really pumped. I know.
Right. They've got they're putting in two new showers. They've already got the one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just everything they do is top notch too. It's like everything. Like you just look at everything, and everything is nice. You know, it's not half assed on it. So, no, it'll be cool. It'll be nice, and I'm pumped for it. So,
yeah, I really want to get Scott. I really want to like kind of know because he was the guy who started this.
Yeah.
And I would just love to kind of. What made you come up with this idea?
Right.
You know, that's really what I want to ask. This is just such a cool thing. Where did you come up with this?
Well, I think there's a network of Adventure Unknowns across the country.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think they got the idea out of, if I'm not mistaken, Scott, come on and clarify, but I thought Jim.
So it's like a chapter.
Yeah, I thought Jim was one of the earlier investors, and he told me that he did something similar in Kansas City, and him and Scott wanted to bring it here. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out when we get them on. I would love to just kind of get the story about it. There's definitely a story. How long has this been?
I think it's been 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
22 it started?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's just cool. So if you're ever interested, anybody listening wants to come check it out, message Pat and I, and you can bring guests up here whenever. So
yeah.
yeah, just let us know. I mean, they got a cigar lounge, all these whiskeys, and all these cool. It's just cool,
right? And there's a women's lounge too. Yeah. I mean, it's
not all men.
It's not all men. Yeah, and yeah, no, it's just some of the stuff that they're talking about for the future of this place is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So.
Sure, man. Well, you know, one thing you sent me the other day. Oh, actually, before we get into that, I was. I know you went to Florida for Christmas. How was that?
It was great. Yeah, I went down. Dalton, Melissa, and I took the boys down there to see my parents for Christmas. You know, they've come up here the last two years ago we were down there. But yeah, it's we had a great time. Got to spend it with them. The boys got to hang out with grandma and grandpa, and my brother and his girlfriend made it down. And yeah, it was just, you know, I mean, a lot of people in their place. So, you know, and they've got a good size house, but
you get 10 extra people in there, it's going to feel a little crowded.
Yeah.
more crowded than it should.
Yeah. I was the seventh there with my mom and dad, Melissa and Dalton, and then Brian and his girlfriend, but it was fun. We had a good time. Got to do a lot of cool stuff. Got out, play golf. The weather wasn't typical Florida. It was sunny, but it was cold. It was probably in 45-55 range. So it's not like we were out in the beach and getting water with where they're at along the panhandle, but got to go into Pensacola, went into Fort Walton and played golf. It was good. Pictures on the beach. We had a lot of fun with that.
So those pictures are great.
Yeah, had a lot of fun with that.
The one where you're running after the boys. Chasing that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my idea. They were like, because everybody was taking pictures with the boys, and I, you know, they're just like, can we be done? Like, if you take one more picture, you will get a toy.
Yeah, that's the bribe. It's the way we have to do.
Santa will bring you one more toy. What do you want?
Yeah. What do you want? Santa's. We'll put a quick word into Santa, and he'll express it through Amazon.
Yeah, we got we're dialing him right now. I can either press one for good or two for bad.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So
fucking dope. Try to hang that. You posted the meme the other day, but it was like the when you tell your son that the elf's watching, and it's like this meme or whatever. I was like, that's so true, because like you try to tell Calvin that pancakes are elf, and pancakes watching that it, you know, it's like, oh, is he? Yeah. You know, like, okay, like,
yeah, sooner or later you have that kind.
I was gonna say, you're gonna be having a lot sooner than I will.
Before they lose that magic, but they get so excited around Christmas. I mean, shit, they came in and woke me up at like 5 a.m. and I'm like, no,
back to bed. 2 more hours.
Yep. Yeah.
So, I think our rule was 7 a.m. Yeah, my parents wouldn't let us wake them up before 7. I think that was the rule.
Yeah. And,
my brother like always sneaking down the and he came. You know, I'm trying to remember when did I? I think it was. Like 8 or 9.
Yeah. Third grade.
Where it starts to go downhill.
Yeah, but you see you see that there's that post out there, which I thought was great, and I need to go back and find it and save it. But it's like how you it's the magic, you know, of Christmas. Anybody that gives and it's like Santa is a metaphor for things, and that we can all be Santa.
Yeah,
but the problem is we can't tell the younger kids because they're not ready yet for that. Once they get to a certain age and they're ready to start that process of giving, you know, being Santa themselves, that's when they're able to understand. And so I have to go back and find it. A pretty neat post about how to explain that to kids as they get older. Right. So like Connor's not ruining it for Oliver.
Right. Yeah. So it's like with them being a year apart, you know, might be, like you might have a year where Connor doesn't
run
the next year. That might be the last year with Ollie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Or I'm just going to keep dressing up like Santa Claus. And
he's got the suit, people.
Sneaking into the house.
Yeah. Go back a couple episodes. He's got the suit.
Oh, yeah. Or our Christmas special from over a year ago.
Oh, that's God. Yeah.
Crazy. That was a year
ago.
Dude,
I know. I mean, I always forget that we did that
until
we were in here the other day talking to those couple that are members here. And, I was like, I kind of forgot that that was kind of what started. It started us doing content.
Then
that basically turned into a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, that was the beginning of.
Well, I think like we started doing those memes together. We did the office one.
Oh yeah.
With the interest rates and I was Dwight. You were.
I was Jim.
But yeah, no, it's funny to look, go back and look back.
The Christmas and then the Thanksgiving one with Connor.
Yeah, Thanksgiving, and then they rolled that over into a Christmas one with Connor again and playing on that one.
Yeah, we had a plan to like start doing that for every holiday. Yeah, and we like started doing the
Valentine's Day. Like, yeah, Valentine's Day, St. Patty's Day, all sorts of stuff.
But still want to dress up like a little leprechaun.
Yeah, we can. Hey, we can just drop one every year.
Yeah,
that might be okay. Switch it up every year.
Have Murph come back in March.
Yeah, there you go. Murph.
You're coming back.
Yes.
I'm dressing up as a leprechaun. I got the hat and everything.
Yes, we'll do that. Yeah. So, but yeah, how was yours?
It was great. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, it's just hectic. You know, we just have like four different places to go on Christmas Day. So that just can get a little exhausting. Christmas Eve's fun. We always go to we always do like a Christmas morning at my parents, usually a couple of days before Christmas. So it's like, we'll just go over there one night. They'll cook a nice dinner, and then we open up their presents, kind of do like what we do Christmas morning over there, and then we do Christmas Eve over at my grandma's, which is fun, but it's just like, it's hard because my grandma's house is just definitely not set up for not exactly childproof. There's just like little breakable things everywhere, and like, you know, just things that, you know, Calvin's trying to grab everything, and it's just not a, it's just madness. And then, you know, it doesn't really even start until, and most people go to like the 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock mass, and then comes there afterwards. And so we got there like right at like 30, and it just, you know, and we normally get, Theo's normally in bed by 7. So it's just like, I mean, we stayed out past, you know, his bedtime that night, but it's just like, it just throws the whole kind of routine off.
Right.
And then, you know, on Christmas Day, we wake up Christmas morning in our house, and Regina's my mom and dad's. Did like a little Christmas morning there, and then there to her grandma's house, then came home for like an hour, then went to my grandma's, were there for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and Gina's aunts, and were there like 3:30 or 4 o'clock of the evening. But which is nice about that, her aunt's house a mile from me. It's literally just like right down the curve, which is nice. I mean, 5 minutes from home, you know, to bring. I think we had, you know, Theo did wake up, but you know, we put him to bed over there and woke him up at like 9:30. But yeah, it was great. You know, can't complain at all. You know, New Year's was pretty boring. We literally didn't do anything. I mean, I'm pretty sure Gina and I were asleep by like we did like a, you know, we did like a fake ball drop video on YouTube for Calvin at like 7:30 at
night. Yeah.
And like went outside, banged on pots and pans with him, and I'm like, all right, time to go take a bath and go to bed. Yeah. You know, and I just treated it like a normal night, throw on our show and probably falling asleep on the couch basically at like 11. And then I was like, all right, let's go upstairs. You know, that's so pretty uneventful as far as like New Year's goes. But I mean, I feel like New Year's is one of those holidays so overrated.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm trying to remember like one, maybe when I was in college or something, probably had fun New Year's things, but I feel like you always, like, I remember going, always doing like some place where you go, all inclusive deal. Like,
yeah,
it's fun, but it's not like, I don't know, just never.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I've had some really good New Year's. You know, when I was still playing, obviously, you definitely want to be careful, but like we went to there's 1 year friends with Josh Seiberg, so owns this family owned Seiberg's, and they had the Chesterfield location set up for like his close friends, and got invited, brought some college buddies with us. And then they had a deal worked out with the, I forget what hotel it is that's out there, but they would shuttle us. So like, we didn't have to worry about anything, and it was perfect. Like we, you know, I had my entire class of guys that I went into college with that were there. And actually like one of my roommate freshman year, that's where he met his wife. Cool. Like that night, she was a server there. They're still married. They got 5 kids now, I think.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he's a pastor. He's in Kentucky or Tennessee now. But yeah, so met her there. But we had a blast. Like, we had such a good time. And then, you know, I'm a big fan of just like going out's okay when it's something like that, but I'd rather, like, the next couple of years, I think I had it at my parents' house and have everybody come in. I think we had 30 or 40 people over at my parents' house one night, and we all partied. And next thing you know, we're all like, my dad was flying from Pittsburgh. This was still working in Pittsburgh. And we got a bad snowstorm, so he got delayed. And so, like, he's like, yeah, I won't be in until like 6 a.m. the next morning. And then someone come and pick us up. And like the next thing you know, like, I wake up, it's 7 o'clock in the morning, and everybody's like passed out, just like all over the place, floors, couches, everywhere. And like, I'm waking up, and my dad is like walking through the house. He had to get a taxi from the airport to Oakville because we forgot to get him.
Oh, shit.
He walked in, and it's just a pile of bodies all over the place.
I'm sure he was thrilled.
No, he grabbed a drink and started drinking. So it was fun.
Hilarious. Now, were you the house that had like parties as a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. I threw some pretty epic parties in high school. I remember freshman year, my parents were like, oh yeah, it was the end of football season. Like, oh yeah, I have the football team and the cheerleaders over on Halloween. So I'm like, yeah, sure. So they come over, and some of the hockey guys that I play with, because hockey season was going on, and we had a really cool setup in the backyard. We had a pool, and there was like 3 different decks, and I still had guard behind the pool, and we had fire pits set up in multiple spots, and it got out of hand quick. Yeah. Like, next thing you know, like, started off, there's probably like 20 or 30 of us just hanging out outside.
Oh, yeah.
Next thing you know, they're texting people, but it was like great because like it was fun. People were just walking in, and like, they'd start off, you'd see their parents are freshmen in high school. Obviously, they don't want their parents to see what they're wearing. And like,
sure.
By the time they made it back, they're all like, all the girls were stripped down to their Hooters outfits
or whatever it was. Yeah.
And guys and all that. And next thing you know, the backyard's completely filled up with people. And then my dad comes out and he's like, Pat, get over here now. So we walk out front, and it's just the entire street. Like, it was massive. So we had to call my neighbor over, who was a bouncer. A neighbor's son was a bouncer downtown. And so he walked over and he started like kicking people out and all this stuff. And then that was freshman year. So like first semester freshman year. And then I had a couple other ones, but the next big one was, I think it was my senior year. So it was right after I signed, because it was like Thanksgiving time. So signing was in November. And so I just signed my scholarship with Missouri State. And my grandparents came into town, and my parents wanted to take them down to show them Springfield. And they literally left Friday afternoon, came back Saturday afternoon. I went to school. I was like, party at my house. There had to be 300 fucking people representing 5 different schools. So like Biani, Notre Dame, Oakville, Melville, some people from DeSmet, like all over. And then like guys from college that I like that were in college that I played baseball with that were back in town came over. I mean, it was
rowdy.
Oh yeah. The shit got broke. I got in a lot of trouble for that one. Yeah.
I only really had like two parties. It never got like, but like, yeah, I mean, it was like parents went out of town to do it. But it's like, you try to keep it small. I think it was 30 or 40. Wasn't any wild or crazy, but then like, in college, at least my junior year had one big loss. That we had a party every weekend for, which was exhausting.
I'm sure.
You know, like, I got really comfortable with just having 100 people in my living room, you know, like, it was, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, we had hardwood floors. And they were
destroyed.
They were sticky all year long. Like, you couldn't walk around barefoot in the house ever. Like, you were wearing, you know, you kept a pair of slides by the door, by your bedroom door, and that's what you walked out into the main areas with, because it was just like, as you walked around all the time. You know, I mean, the nice part about college is we had, you know, being in a fraternity, we always had the pledges, which was nice, and that was part of it. You basically did like a semester worth of kind of shitty stuff where you cleaning up after every party, you're driving, you know, you're sober driving, you know, 3 or 4 nights a week. You know, it was, you know, we had a pledge class of 30 guys that eventually got whittled down to 19. And so you're taking one shift of a week, either a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. But it was so nice that we always had sober drivers. And we always had, you know, people to help come clean. You know, you put your semester of kind of pledgeship in, and then after that, you're in the club and you got 3.5 years worth of help, and just it was worth the investment. Yeah. But yeah, it was fun having the parties. Yeah, you got tired. You eventually get tired of it.
Right.
But I'm glad that I did it. Because I remember getting so like nervous at first, especially because like we weren't 20, at least I wasn't 21 till like halfway through that year. So like half the year I'm like, you know, underage, and I've got hundreds of people in my house drinking. Mm-hmm. And it was just like nerve wracking, and you know, cops came almost every time.
Yeah.
And that's just how Springfield is. And,
right.
But I miss those days. It's like, I definitely don't party or drink like that anymore.
Yeah. You know? No. And that was like purposely got with guys that didn't want to have a party house.
Yeah.
But every year there was a party house for the baseball team. Oh, someone yeah. had one.
Someone
has one. Yeah. And so I'm just glad that that wasn't us, because those houses were destroyed. Well, one of them was like supposed to be condemned after they moved out. That was my freshman year. Actually, that was Ross's house.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sure when we get him back on, we can talk about that. But
yeah, one of our lost episodes.
Yeah. But yeah, he had the party house my freshman year, and the owners of it were like, yeah, it's been condemned. It's just going to get torn down, and they're going to build, which they did eventually. That's on Kimbrew, where they've got all these new high rise student living facilities there. But they had started talking about that my freshman year. Well, so we just went in and destroyed it. Like everybody that was there would go in and sign the wall. I mean, this whole wall was just autographed by people. It was really cool. Anybody that went to that house autographed the wall. And I mean, it was like almost nightly that something was going on over there. And yeah. And so that was freshman year. Got in some trouble in that house a couple times.
Yeah. Told those stories,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, I think we've heard those stories. And then sophomore year, it was where, so we always, it's like our hazing thing. I guess you can't really call it hazing, but it was like our intro to the team was called the Keg Stand World Series.
Yeah.
They no longer do this anymore. Like, I guess kids don't drink in college anymore. Like,
really?
Yeah. We went out because we were down there. Was that October for an alumni event? And when I was there, we couldn't wait for these things. Like, we're like, this is great. All these older guys are coming in. We're going to party with the, like, ex-players and guys that are in the big leagues that are coming in town for these alumni events. And
as a pledge, when you were a pledge, you got terrified.
Well, that's the thing. Because like, we had some crazy guys. There's Sean Markham has a reputation in Springfield. He's just got a reputation as a whole. Awesome guy. But yeah, you know, you heard Sean was coming into town, you're like, oh fuck.
Here we go.
But no, we had so much fun at those things, and we would just we would look forward to it. But we went back there for this past year, and nobody, like, it was just the alumni that went out. We were like, hey, we're the players. They showed up at Finnegan's. And I guess that's like the big bar now is Finnegan's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was down there.
It was down there, but it wasn't like.
It was like, it wasn't up one that we
went like, to. Like, oh, hey, we're going to Finnegan's night. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Why are you going to Finnegan's?
Like,
yeah.
Go to like Finnegan's before P Bar or something.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. And so, but no, like, that was the spot. And they redid it, and it's nice in there, and it was fucking packed. And the baseball team was there, but none of them were drinking. None of them drank. They were all just hanging out. I'm like, wow. That's, I mean, I
disciplined.
Like, that's fucking cool. But
good for you guys.
That wasn't us.
That wasn't. The baseball team might be better now.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Shocker.
I don't know. Looking at their records, maybe they should start drinking again.
Yeah.
they've had some good runs and they've had some downs. But yeah, I mean, you know, we had some fun. Like, we would sweep a team, and then we would have a keg party on Sundays. That was our routine, because Mondays were our days off.
Mm.
We didn't have anything going on. So, you know, you'd purposely load your schedule up to where it was like super light on Mondays, and usually started later in the day if you had class. And so, yeah, we would get a keg, we'd sweep a team. And my sophomore and junior year, I mean, we swept every series but one. Oh, yeah. We were getting after it. So, you know, it was a good time. We had a lot of fun. But yeah, fuck, I'm glad I did party house. We always had apartments. apartments. We're not having parties in apartments.
Yeah. Apartment. Technically my place was an apartment, but it wasn't a real apartment. It was like lofts, but it was.
Yeah.
Not how many square feet. Pretty big.
Pretty massive. Yeah. Ours.
We had the biggest one. Stoveworks.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We just had I had a townhouse my sophomore year. Then we had a house on Jefferson my junior year, but that was such a piece of shit house. Like, it was held up by tree stumps and 5 feet of dirt throughout the basement. How that thing has stood up, who knows? But nobody wanted to go over there.
Yeah.
And then my senior year, I had just a little small two bedroom apartment across from Ebbets Field. Rest in peace, Ebbets.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Love that place.
It was great.
So, Red Hot Tenders.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I like the Duke.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good one.
Their
too.
Burgers
the
were
burgers
amazing.
Are great. Yeah. Burgers.
Right.
But one thing you sent me this post.
Now we're dads.
Yeah, now we can be dads. We can talk about our party boy days. You sent me this post. Pull it back up here.
Order of Men. It's a good follow.
Yeah, Ryan Mickler. He's a author, podcaster. Really, really good fit. So, it's 10 things to teach my sons this year. So, first one, do the hardest things first. Yeah. I really like that because, I mean, that's kind of how I look at that. I if I'm like looking at my day before I do all my work, it's like I usually try to do things that's gonna suck the most the first. Right. If I got that
that's
hard
why I like
call to make.
That's why I like working out in the morning.
Mm. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, doing CrossFit or even jujitsu.
Yeah, makes in the rest of the day seem super easy. You know, because I'm like, man, I just fucking had a grown man on top of me for the last hour trying to strangle me.
Yeah.
You know, making some difficult phone calls.
Right.
Now.
Exactly.
You know, that's nothing's gonna be harder than that. So. Or, I just had to do a million burpees and thrusters in a workout. Yeah. Like, much rather make a phone call.
Yeah. much rather go meet with somebody or talk to somebody or deliver bad news after, like, it makes everything the rest of the day seem easy.
I feel like I even look at that with, like, it's going to sound stupid, but, like, a plate of food. You know, I still always eat, like, if there's, like, a plate of food, and say it's, like, a steak, potato, vegetable, something, I'm always eating.
Everything else is
yeah, because everything I'm like, I'm ending on a fucking delicious bite of steak. You know, that's how I always mentally look at like shit. And I've had just like things I've done since a kid,
yeah,
that I still do today. So
let's see. Number two, when you meet a man, shake his hand firmly and look him in the eyes. Like, this is something, it drives me nuts. Like,
fundamentally,
yeah,
you just gotta.
Just like the weak, limp handshake.
Nothing worse than a fucking dead fish handshake, dude. Yeah. Oh,
or like, and then the eye contact. Like, that's huge. And that was something that I was always taught and something that I always do and still to this day. And I always like, man, that's a firm handshake. Like,
yeah, good one.
Sorry, hopefully it wasn't too firm. I don't want to break your hand. Like, oh, no, it was nice. Like,
yeah.
But as a man, that shows like, hey, you're strong, you're firm. Like, you're like, I don't know. For me, it was just, you only get a chance to make one first impression.
Right. Even if someone gives me a shitty one, I've kind of made the habit recently where I'll be like, no, let's do that again.
Yeah.
You know, like that wasn't a good one.
Yeah.
Let's see, maybe I'll give him a second try.
Yeah.
that was weak. Let's try this again.
Right. And it's just a sign of respect, in my opinion. And I don't know. I like I said, a handshake. I mean, I think it's, I don't know, it's become a lost art, I guess, because
Or just fingertips. Yeah. That's a shitty one too. One thing, Calvin and we started taking Calvin to this place called Kids Strong. It was really cool, and that's like one of the very
first
I
saw the posts on that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like this like little gym. It's like kind of like a kids gym thing, basically, where they set it up, and it's like it's like a national chain supposedly, but they have like each week is like a different. I mean, they have like they basically set up these like the obstacle courses for them. They're like working on certain skills at a time. Like we came in on the tail end of it, and they were working on rope climbing, balance beams, and like climbing boxes or jumping off boxes. Mm-hmm. And like it was like that was the skills that we're working on for this block. Mm-hmm. And it was like it's cool because show them how to like climb a rope and how to like walk across a balance beam. Like they just have these like fun little obstacle courses set up, and like the instructors are really great, and they. And one thing Gina and I were saying that we do like is like they're not afraid to like
touch the kids. And that sounds like bad when I say it like that, but like if he's not doing what he's supposed to, he'll like pick him up and like, nope, we go over here, you know? And it's like, I'm totally okay with you picking our, you know, if he's not doing something that he's supposed to.
Right.
And just, it's just a really cool atmosphere. And, but where I was getting with this is the very first thing that they have to do is, the coach, you know, they all line up and the coach, you know, goes through and they have to introduce themselves and shake the coach's hand.
Well, that's
and,
awesome.
Like, look them in the eye. And that's the very first thing to do. And I'm like, man, I love that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Such a cool, like, thing. Cool. Like, and, so it's just a cool little aspect of it. Yeah. So we just started going to that, but then he's been sick the last 2 weeks. So we haven't gone. We're going to go every Sunday. So get back to it.
That'll be fun. Number three, treat people gently unless they deserve otherwise.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
absolutely.
Always be the, no reason to be mean unless that reason's given.
Right.
There's no, I don't be an asshole unless someone's an asshole to you.
Right. That's I mean,
great rule of thumb.
I mean, and it just goes back to the whole respect thing. I mean, it's just respect people until they don't deserve respect, in my mind. Like, I'm going to treat everybody kindly. And I mean, that's how, you know, I would hope people are treating me kindly. And I feel like if you're leading with the kindness, then it, you know, most of the time it's going to get reciprocated. And if not, well, then handle the shit, you know?
And I think the people that are just generally asshole people are just like an insecurity. Like there's something going on with them that they're not feeling, that they're feeling the need to assert themselves that way to feel something.
Right.
Like they're in control. Maybe it's something they're not happy with their relationship at home, or kids, or their job,
right?
Or whatever it is, but I bet there's something going on that they may not be aware of. They're
right.
Just being an asshole.
Yeah, there's just, you never know what somebody's going through either. It could That's be true. A bad day.
Yeah,
you know?
Everybody has.
I think I might. You know, it says handle otherwise, or unless they deserve otherwise. You know, part like I said. You know, first impressions are key. But at the same time, like if I come across somebody that's, you know, just like, well, what's going on? Why? There's something. I hope you're having, usually some comment across as a smart ass. I'm like, I'm sorry for whatever you're doing today. You know?
That's a good one.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Like that.
But, never lose your cool in front of other people.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And I think I've been getting better at that. Yeah. With, I mean, particularly with like things at home, you know, like, I feel like that's where if I lose my cool, you know, it's like the kids do something and I'll say, you know, yeah. He does something that's just like crazy or like unwarranted. And like, and Gina has let me know that like, hey, it's because you're giving him a reaction.
Yeah.
Like he goes in and, you know, opens up the pantry and dumps a bag of chips on the floor. Mm-hmm. Like, don't freak out.
Right.
Be like, oh, why are you doing that, dude? What the fuck? What's wrong with you? You know, like, or whatever you're going to say.
And well, I think that book.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get into. Is like, that book that is great. I really need to get the girls in here and do that.
Yeah. Because I've been really working on that. Over, like, the last month, everything I read, I try to implement right off the bat and develop those habits quickly. And it's something that's really changed, especially because Connor's very much a rule follower and discipline. Ollie, he's that zero fucks, like,
yeah,
doesn't care. He, like, you get mad at him, he's gonna laugh at you, like, fuck you, dad. So, like, I've been really, he was really good at pushing patience. And so, I've really been implementing that and getting down on his level, talking to him, hey, man, I get it. It's okay to be frustrated. It's all right to be upset. Like, yeah, feel those, like, but at the same time, the answer's still no. Like,
yeah, no, I love you.
I love
the answer's
no. Yeah, you can't have ice cream. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. No ice cream for breakfast. Sorry. But I love you, and you can be mad about that, but still no ice cream. And it's okay. You're allowed to be mad. I want you to be mad. You should be mad. You really want something, be mad. But
it's okay to be mad, but it's not okay to be mean.
Right.
That's a line we're saying a lot. Yeah. It's okay to be mad, but not okay to be mean.
Yeah. Because Ollie's in that punching.
Yeah, we are too.
He gets mad and he just starts punching. Right. I mean, he whopped Connor pretty good the other day.
Really?
Oh, yeah. In the back of the head and the front of the head and the face. I'm like, Oliver. And he's like, look, don't talk to me. Buddy, come here. I picked him up and went in the room, in my bedroom. And I'm like, hey, it's okay to be mad. Like, I get it. You're upset. Like, Connor took your toy. I get that. you were playing with it, kind of grabbed it from him. I'll talk to Connor about that, but, and it's okay for you to be mad about that. But we also have to understand, can't punch people. Like, be mad, but don't punch. And so after that, I was like, do you understand? He's like, yeah. Like, you're okay to be mad? Like, you're mad. Be mad. Go ahead, be mad. And I'm going to talk to Connor. But just know, we don't punch people. Or bite. He's got a bite.
Oh, yeah. So Calvin went through a fit. He hasn't bit me in a while, but we had a couple instances where he bit me a couple times. Dude.
Yeah.
That's like the one thing he can do that like hurts. You know?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter how old you are. That shit hurts.
Especially when they get to a, you know, when they have teeth.
Yeah.
Because Theo can bite me all he wants right now, but he just doesn't have any teeth yet.
So, pressure.
Yeah. It doesn't, yeah. No, no pain.
No. So.
Yeah. All right, next one.
Well, and on to that though, never lose your cool in front of others. Like, I think it shows an emotional maturity that you have. Like, if you're able to stay stoic and control and calm, like that's going to come across more powerful than you losing shit. Like, what? Like, all it's going to show is you're emotionally unstable, but kind of. Like, you don't have control of your emotions, and you're letting the emotions get the best of you. Where if you're able to stay calm and stoic and poised throughout something like that, that's going to come across more powerful.
Yeah, so, I agree.
All right. Offer yourself grace, but don't let yourself off the hook. This is something that I need to work on because I'm really fucking hard on myself. I can be really tough on myself.
Yeah, I can too. That's a hard one, you know, because it's like, because you can be hard on yourself all you want. What do you know?
Right.
And especially if something bad happened, I'll dwell on it a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things. You know, the deal that goes sideways, or you know, a friendship that gets, you know, something in between you guys or something. That's one of the things that can be, it can be really hard to do. And it's one of those things that can be hard to get over. And you just got to kind of be a bigger man.
Yeah.
Get over it,
right? I mean,
essentially, but you know, that's something that's easier said than done for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
that's definitely something I need to work on as well.
Yes,
yeah. There's a few things in my life that you know I think I've gotten over, but then something happens and I'm reminded of it. I'll get pissed off again.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like, why can't I just eliminate that from my brain?
Yeah. But my biggest thing has been around work. You know, go from you know doing 30, 40 million in business a year, you know. Then the divorce, single dad life, business drops by about half, well, not quite half, but close. And you're just like, I was really tough on myself. But then I'm like, oh, let's look out for your game. Okay. Single dad, doing all the shit yourself when it comes to the kids. Like, you know, no help, no team, no person there to rely on, you know, cooking, cleaning, laundry, all of the things. You know, not really having any family here to count on to like, hey, I need help. You know, everybody's gone. So I don't have anybody to lean on. So I'm like, you know what? Like when I look at it that way, it's like, fuck, I've come a long way. Yeah. Sure. My business took a dip, but at the same time now I'm just getting to spend more quality time with my kids, versus and becoming, you know, it's not to say that I wasn't self-sufficient, but I was, now I'm even,
for sure.
You know, I don't need somebody now to do the dishes or clean or lawn. Like I can do that. I've got that shit under control. Not that I didn't have it before, but it was always nice to have help. But now it's like, nope, if it's going to get done, I have to do it. And I don't know. Like that's going to be tough getting back into a relationship and having to give up that control that I've gained, like those disciplines that I've developed. And yeah.
You know, you said something there that you just got to look at everything. That, no matter what it is, there's always a way that you can like look at it positive. Like, you know, okay, I'm doing less in business, but like, hey, I get to spend more time with my kids.
Absolutely,
I get to, you know, there's always a positive.
I've picked up better disciplines that has carried over into my business. It's just I you know, I wasn't on like growth like I had been. And I had taken a step back from that. I wasn't meeting with his people and setting his appointments and all that, which at the time I needed that like space. I mentally, I wasn't there and I had to work on that. And so now I'm happy with where I've come over the last few years and getting that business back. You know, the fact, even cutting it in half and still doing really well.
Still living a good life.
Yeah, still doing all right. So,
look at things in the grand scheme of things. Right. There's a lot of people out there that are not.
Right, exactly.
I'm reminded of that a lot. Yeah. You know, I'll be just driving around or you're at the grocery store or wherever, and you just see people and you just know that they're going through a tough time. And you're like, man, things could be worse. My bills are paid. Right. I live in a roof over my head. I've got beautiful, got everybody's happy and healthy. Like, there's so many more things that can go wrong. If money can fix it, it's not a problem. It's a line that always says is like stuck. You gotta remember the things that money can't buy. Health, all these things, family. If you didn't have. Your life.
Right. Well, and that's the thing too, is like you see those posts and on social media and stuff where it's like, you may not be happy where you're at now, but 10 years ago, you would be thrilled at who you are right now.
Yeah. If I looked at myself, it's so stupid that you look at yourself like in college, get out of college, no idea. I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. I went, started working at the one barbecue place, trying to start the other barbecue place. And I thought that was going to be the all be all. Had a number like financially. Once I get to that life, okay,
right?
Being well past that now, man. if I would have looked at myself out of college and see where I'm at now with all the things that I've done with my life, family, job, everything, I wouldn't have thought that I'd be here.
Right.
I really had not much of a plan. What I wanted to do ever. Yeah. I really didn't. I just always was like, oh, I just want to make a lot of money. That was something that I always said. Like, I selfishly, like, I always wanted to be a firefighter. That was kind of like, and that was like what I always, when you're a little kid, everybody always asks you, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I remember, wanting to be a firefighter. And then I was like, oh, I wanted to. And I found out. I just thought the lifestyle was cool. As far as like, oh, 2 days on, 2 days off, however. Works. Right. I know it's different place, but I just decided that wasn't what I wanted to learn. I was like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, maybe I just want to do something in business. And like the whole entrepreneurship, kind of being your own boss kind of thing, always super attractive to me, just because not that I ever had any like shitty bosses. I mean, I had some bosses shitty, but like I never did that well. I always felt like I just want to be in control of myself and not rely. I wanted to be control my destiny, and finding that through real estate was game changer. Yeah, just looking at how far we've come, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We've got a lot, long way to go.
Oh, for sure.
We're still young. We're just scratching the surface. So, yeah. But next one.
Hold yourself to the highest standard and have no expectations of others. I kind of touched on that on the previous one. Yeah. Obviously, even though I took a step back in my business, I still maintain like the service, the expectation that I have that you work with me, you're going to get the best service out there and you're going to close on time. It's going to be smooth. Same thing, father, be the best father out there. How can I be the best father? Like, those are the things. And I'm holding myself to high standards on that. And yeah, the expectation of others, can't expect others to want the same things you want or do the same things or have the same drive. And when it comes to building a team, like, that's one of the things that I've learned. Like, I'm like, oh, I want people that are this, but I gotta remember, like, not everybody's like that. So
yeah, I mean, there's definitely one thing that I really want to work on this year. I need to get back to kind of the fundamentals of business, like when I first started, as far as being diligent with my CRMs and being really organized with my systems. Because that's something I've certainly fallen of like the last 2 years. And I'm just like been very reliant on just my phone ring, people reaching out to me via social media or just getting referrals from past clients and stuff. And I've had businesses grown exponentially every year, but I'm like, man, I feel like I'm lacking here so much. It could be so much more organized than I am. So that's something this year that I really dial, get back to, just being more diligent with my schedule, being more diligent with just organizing clients and leads and everybody that comes in, and get back to prospecting. so that I can really, you know, kind of grow even more this year and really hit the lofty goals that I've set here. So that's something I definitely need to improve on, because I've just been, I haven't been lazy. I just have been very, I've been a lead receiver, not a lead general. Like, gotcha. I remember when I first got started in this business, like Alex, or it's like, hey man, you know, phones, I mean, a couple of years down the road, phones started my way. But, you know, when you're a couple of years in the business, like, you know, most of those calls are outbound, you know, mm-hmm. you're calling people.
Right.
And I just need to get back to that, because that's like the fundamentals of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And
that's where the reason I have gotten to the point that I have, and I just need to keep doing it. I want to this thing. And I just need to be more organized. And so that's definitely one area of my life.
That's awesome, man. Number 7, you're here for a purpose. Leave no stone unturned to find out what it is. Yeah, especially when it comes to kids, because obviously they don't know what they want or what they're good at or anything, but encouraging to just go after and try everything and then do it with their all.
Yeah, I mean, figure out what you like.
Yeah.
You know, like, I hope my kids like, you know, the stuff that I'm into, but if they're not, man, I'll be right there on the sidelines of the baseball team or whatever sport that they get into. You know, like, I want to be their number one fan, and I want to support them. And whatever sport that is, I'm going to figure out how to play it too, so that we can practice in the backyard or do whatever. You know, like, if they get really into lacrosse or something, I don't know, lacrosse.
Right.
But, like, I'm going to buy myself a stick, and we're going to throw that ball around the front yard. You know, like, we're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
If they get into wrestling and grappling and stuff, like, great. That's something I'm already pretty good at. But, I mean, that's really the only sport I'm good at. Watching me throw a ball is pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, Connor loves baseball. Oliver is coming around to it. I think it's too boring for him, which is fine.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of how it was for me, man. I liked the culture of baseball. Like, I love the, like, hang out in the dugout.
Yeah.
We can spit sunflower seeds, you know, chew bubble gum.
Mm-hmm.
Pick it, throw a dip in, you know, do all these things. Like, I love, like, the hangout aspect of it.
Oh, for sure.
But, like, the sport itself, like, I was never, like, that into personally.
Yeah.
You know, it just wasn't my thing.
I'll be honest. It was boring as fuck.
Going from hockey to baseball are, like, two completely, different.
Absolutely.
Like, fucking mentalities, two different, like, cardio levels needed, like, two very different skill sets.
Right. Well, and, like, as a pitcher, you know, especially being a starter, like, in college, you throw once a week. Obviously, you got your stuff, your prep throughout the week to get ready for your start. But ultimately, it's just like, dude, it was boring watching games. They're just not, like, they're boring to watch. You know, it's like, I'll tell you what, playing, being in the game. And that's why I liked becoming a reliever, because I was able to pitch more frequently. I wasn't throwing as many innings or as long, but I was able to play in more games. That made it a little bit more exciting. Especially being able to, like, come into a situation, like, you don't know what kind of situation you're in. But that made baseball a lot more fun, was when I became a reliever, and because I was throwing more frequently. And yeah, it was just more, you know, you're coming into situations where it's like, all right, we need these three outs. We need to shift the momentum, or, like, hey, runners are in scoring position, getting out with those guys scoring, without those guys scoring. So as a starter, though, you can kind of, like, ease into it. But yeah, I mean, baseball is boring as fuck.
Yeah. All right. Number 8. Never let society dictate what it means to be a man. That's between God. That's good, man. Yeah, I like that.
We've talked about that a lot. I mean, you know, the term toxic masculinity likes to get thrown around a lot. And, you know, it's, you know, really no definition to it. It's whatever somebody wants, you know, social media wants to claim it to be. Fuck that, you know. You know, there's things that I do that are deemed toxic, and I'm like, no, that's just being a man. I'm okay with that. You want to call me toxic, cool, but I don't feel toxic.
Yeah.
You know, so, but making sure that I'm instilling the right morals, ethics, and principles and values into my kids, that's the most important thing, and that they're strong in those aspects and that they follow those things, because ultimately that's, you know, that's what's going to lead to success. That's what's going to lead to being a good person. So
yeah. I just feel like everybody's got kind of I feel like we have, like, a built-in moral compass, man. You know, like, you know something. You know there's something that's that's wrong. Should,
right.
You know, like, you know, like if I'm treating someone like shit or I'm acting like an asshole, like there's, I'm trying to think of some specific examples, but like you just always have a feeling like this is the right thing.
Yeah.
And I think following that moral compass is usually going to lead.
Oh, for sure. Next. Number 9. Know when to cut your losses, financial, relational, and aspirational.
Mm.
Yeah, that's I mean, that's a tough one too. Like, yeah.
Oh man, I'm trying to think of the. I mean, I can think of the one. It, biggest one I ever did was leaving the barbecue place. That was the hardest decision I ever had to make. I battled with that decision before I actually found the conversation ultimately. But that was the hardest decision I ever had to make. I put my heart and soul into that for really like 3 years of my life, and thought that was going to be the end goal. Oh, run this restaurant, do that, and it just ended up not being what I wanted to do, and it was a lot of things went on, but it wasn't. It just ended up not being my. But I had to cut my losses there.
Yeah.
I was like, I left there, and I remember crying in my truck outside. I was like, man, what the fuck? What do I do now?
Yeah,
like I put everything. So now I'm just I got a college degree, but like, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Like I had no plan, no backup, no thoughts on what I should do.
Yeah.
And, worked at, for a little bit just because it was like pretty much make the same amount of money the other place. And at least I can still pay the bills. And while I try to figure this thing out, and shortly after that, there for 2 months and then decided to get my real estate. That piggyback now, but that was just like, I remember cutting my losses, just being like, dude, what the fuck? What do I do now? But ultimately, that ended up being one of the best decisions I ever made.
Yeah.
Never know where shit's going.
Right. Well, and I mean, for me, more so recently was more relational.
Yeah.
You know, Melissa and I deciding to end the marriage, you know, that wasn't, it wasn't an easy decision, but we knew that that's what needed to be done. For us to carry on with and have a better relationship, and for ourselves, for our kids. And so that, you know, obviously that was tough. And then just some other relationships that I've been in since, you know, it's just, it's not easy to cut those ties, but you get to a point where you realize like, hey, this isn't working, and you got to make that switch. But yeah, business wise, you know, I guess, you know, making that decision to give up baseball. But at that point, I was just so over baseball, but then jumping into this and doing this. But like ultimately, I wanted to be a financial advisor. Times early in my career where I had friends that were financial advisors and like, dude, just come on over and do this. And at the time, I was like, nah, man, I've already got this thing going. I'm building it up. But yeah, no, relational, you know, cut the marriage, ending the marriage for better for us as co-parents. Better for us individually in terms of finding future, you know, partners, just for the kids to see what healthy relationships look like and for us to have a healthy relationship moving forward. And, you know, having to cut ties with, you know, people I've dated recently, you know, just realizing what's best for us that at that time just wasn't what's best. And then the decision to, you know, baseball, you know, retire from baseball. But at that point I was so burnt out that I just was over it and ready to be done and retire and move on to something else. But it was like, hey, what, you know, coming into this and, you know, my background's in finance and I wanted to be a financial advisor. And I've got a lot of friends that are in it and they constantly, but especially early on, they're like, let's do this. Like, hey, come on over and get you started. I'm like, I've already got this business built up. It's heading in the right direction. It's heading where I wanted to head. And it's just, yeah, I mean, making that decision to not switch, you know, and cutting that and basically ending that dream. But, you know, it's just, yeah, there's business wise. I mean, luckily I've worked for a great company and we got merged with another great company and I've got an amazing team and support staff there that it's, you know, I don't have to ever worry about that, you know, turning down opportunities that I've been given from other companies. And it just doesn't make sense. So.
Last one.
Number 10. Respond the same whether you win or lose, like a gentleman who is familiar with both victory and defeat.
Funny. this one came up. So we had the CrossFit Achieve Awards banquet the other night, and Amanda, she got up and kind of did like a little speech. She's like, you know, I played a lot of sports as a kid, and my parents always said, you know, whether you win or lose, you have the same look on your face. So that's why I look pissed off all the time.
Yeah, that makes sense now.
You know? That was so funny. I was like, that's a great line for her.
Right.
But no, it's that's so true. You know,
absolutely.
You gotta lose with grace. You gotta win with grace.
Like, yeah.
Don't be a sore loser. Don't be a sore winner.
Right.
You know, whether you win or you lose.
That's right now. I don't know if you've dealt with it, but I'm going through it with Connor. He'll make up random rules just so he wins.
Ah.
He does not like losing. And when he wins, he gloats. Yeah, we got into it. And so we were playing this horse racing game down in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And he won a lot. Like, yeah, he won a lot of the times. And he would just be like, booyah, I won. Yeah, yeah. And just like, and then he'd lose, he'd get all pissed off. And I'm like, dude, you gotta relax here. Like, do you see anybody else when they win? Like rubbing it in other people's faces? Well, no. When they lose, do you see them getting pissed off and all that? Like, I was playing Uno with him last night or yesterday before I dropped him off at Melissa's. And it was me and Ollie, and obviously they're not learning the game.
Sure.
And we're playing it with the cards flipped up so we can see what everybody has.
Right.
And I told him, I said, when you get to one card, like, you got to time it. Like, as you're going down to have one card left, you got to say Uno, like, as you release it so no one else says it, pick up two cards. And he would always forget. And he gets so mad. And then, I get down to one and I go, Uno. And he's like, this isn't fair. I'm going to lose. I'm like, maybe. No. But I've got one card left. I might have to draw cards. You just never know. That's a great thing about Uno. And so, sure as shit, I ended up through the cards. Oh. Uh-uh. No. That's not happening. We got to work. That'll probably be my toughest thing with him.
Yeah.
Ollie's just like, yeah, I won. Cool. He doesn't give a shit. Oh, I lost. Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, Calvin likes to play hide and seek, and that's been our new game. He just, he's getting better, but he would normally like hide and then just like the second you don't find him right away, he's like making noise and like, popping his head out. He's finally trying to figuring out that he needs to like stay hidden. Or, you know, he'll like literally just go in the room, sit on the couch with a blanket over his head, you know, like, it'll be like that.
I can't see you, so you can't see me.
Exactly. But, so we're hide and seek's our new game. But
that's awesome.
We haven't really, we've played some games, but not, you know, for him to kind of figure out the rules of stuff is still kind of early. But hopefully within the next year, I think we'll start.
Yeah.
But that's something I haven't thought about. I guess I had experienced that a little bit with some of Gina's cousins. We always play like gambling games over it. Over at her aunt's house, like for every holiday. And now that I think about it, I'm like, oh, Gina's cousin. Like, it's really upset when, you know, he's a few years older than your boys, but, he get really upset when he loses and rubs it and everybody, gloats when he wins. And it's just something to kind of forget about. It's just like one of those things as kids that you just do and you don't really think about it.
Right.
And it's just, Yeah. Win with grace. Right. Don't be a sore loser.
Right.
Good rules to live by.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go check out that post by Ryan Mickler and Order of Man.
Order of Man.
Good stuff.
That's a good follow.
10 things to teach my daughter as well.
Yep.
But we don't have daughters, so we're not going to go through
that. Nope.
But yeah, guys. So we're in the new studio. If you got anything out of the show, you know, we really appreciate it if you could hit that subscribe button if you haven't. But if you really want to go the extra mile for us, tell someone that you think would like the show and get something out of it, and
share it.
Share it. You know, if you see a clip online, you know, you like it or something. You know, if you want to throw it on your story or something, that means the world to us. So we really appreciate stuff like that. We're just trying to grow this thing, get the word out about the show, and just because we want to keep doing this, we really really enjoy it. You know, being in this new space, we're going to be putting on a lot more guest episodes, like we said, at the show. So we look forward to that, and. Yeah, be on the lookout for that, guys. And click that like button, comment what you guys thought below, hit that subscribe button if you're not already, and we will see you next time.